today on The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
And if you think, well, that can't happen to me, it's because you haven't put into practice the basic fundamental steps that makes a dynamic marriage and a marriage that sizzles. Now, if you want to stay like you are, don't pay any attention to it. Just surrender. I'm content just to hang in there and stay with her. I'm going to stay with him through thick and my glory. The laws and the principles of God about marriage work every single time.
The truth is, God wants your marriage to sizzle. Welcome to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Today, Dr. Young brings you the conclusion of his message, Intimacy, and shares how relying on God leads to the life-giving marriage he wants for you. Before we get to Dr. Young, we want to help you make 2021 a bright year in your walk with Christ by sending you a special resource called the Illuminate Journal. As Dr. Young will tell you, journaling is a powerful way to enrich your spiritual life, and this first month of the new year is the perfect time to get started. Each page of this beautiful journal contains inspirational scripture and space for you to record all God is doing in your life. And we're excited to send you a copy as thanks for your gift of renewed support to help encourage more people in 2021 with the proven truth of God's Word. So call now to request your copy of the Illuminate Journal when you give. Call 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-9255. You can also text the word winning to 41411. Text winning to 41411. We want to help you walk the winning walk with Christ every single day. So we've packed our website with practical resources to help you apply God's proven truth to your life, including books, Bible studies, and audio and video files. You can also sign up for Dr. Young's email devotional and even request personal prayer. So visit winningwalk.org for more of the proven truth and personal support you need. That's winningwalk.org. You can also follow your favorite program on Twitter. Our username is winningwalk. That's winningwalk. How has the Winning Walk impacted your life? Share your story with us by going to winningwalk.org/mystory. Now here's Dr. Ed Young with today's message, Intimacy, Part 2.
It is to be exciting, dynamic, fulfilling, creative, magnificent. And if you think, well, that can't happen to me, it's because you haven't put into practice the basic fundamental steps that makes a dynamic marriage and a marriage that sizzles. Now, if you want to stay like you are, don't pay any attention to it. Just surrender. I'm content just to hang in there and stay with her. I'm going to stay with him through thick and my glory. The law of gravity works, right? You haven't seen any whole law. The laws and the principles of God about marriage work every single time, whatever stage you're in. Let's look at them. First of all, the first reason your marriage is, the first thing you do is you leave. You leave father and mother. A lot of marriages start off in trouble because one or one of the mates holds on to the relationship with the mom or dad or some other person. When you get married, you leave those relationships. Not that you don't talk with your parents, you commune with your parents, but they're not your friends, your best friend, your closest friend. You don't share with them all the intimacies of your marriage. You leave father and mother. And a lot of people in marriage haven't done that. Their first allegiance may be to father or mother or brother or sister or a friend or a prior relationship. When you say, I do, ladies and gentlemen, you leave and your primary direction of your life is devoted to your spouse, to your mate. That's where you start. That's where you start. You say, well, I didn't marry the whole family. Yes, you did. If you think that doesn't work, you married everything about the past, everything about the present, and the future of the person that you have taken on your arms, you said, I do, and they said, I will. You married the whole shooting match. Everyone, well, I didn't know I was marrying my mother-in-law. You certainly are. You certainly have. That's the givenness of it, and we have to leave. But before we get away from that first principle of making a marriage sizzle, you need to look at two marriages. If you're married now or you're about to get married, begin right now to get things together. Look at two marriages. Number one, look at the marriage of your parents, your father and your mother. I've asked in all the services the question of how many of you look at your parents and you can say they had a beautiful relationship. Their marriage was fabulous. They love God. They love one another. I'll tell you, I look at my parents and they were just perfectly married and perfectly celebrating marriage together. And I ask how many could say that. I could not say that with my mom and dad. But how many could say that? And let me ask that question. How many of you can say that? You look at your parents, you say, boy, their marriage was terrific. You just couldn't improve on it. Would you lift your hand? See, they're very, very few. These are the privileged few. I could lift my hand. These are the privileged few. So what do? You start off and you look at the marriage of your parents. And remember something. Let's just deal with the guys, first of all. Your understanding of who you are as a man, your masculinity, was built into you before you were 4 years of age. Hello? You didn't realize it. And I've looked at my mother and my dad, and I see I got my sense of what a husband and a man is from my father before that, and I wondered why I had such a fiery temper. Something go wrong, I just, whew. I look back and I remember my daddy had that kind of temper. And then I begin to ask God to come and help me to deal with that. You see, you can look back and see those inadequacies in your mother, your father, and don't say, I hear people, well, I can't help it. That's just the way my dad or my mother was, or I was brought up like that. Nonsense. God is the business of changing, recovering, working through those things. Go back and look at your parents and see the female, the male, and so forth. And see if God can heal and forgive and work out some of those things that you see as a liability in your father, your mother. And he will do it. He will do it. That's the first marriage you look at. Look at the marriage of your parents and learn from that and realize that you picked up some of those things. You'd say, well, I'll never be like my mother. Well, hello, you wake up and say, oh, I'm becoming like my mother. So look at your home, your parents. I have. You learn from it, and God helps you to see that which you need to change, that which needs to be rebuilt. And then the second marriage you look at the marriage relationship of your spouse, their home. See about their parents, her parents, his parents, and you'll find that her understanding of what it means to be a wife, to be feminine, came before they were four. Didn't even know it. And you look back and see and learn from your mother and see things that were there that you did not like. I remember Jo Best said that her mother punished her one time and she walked out in front of their little house, was sitting on a step there on the curb, and she said out loud, I have the meanest mother in the world, and said to look around, her mother had followed her out and heard every word. See, we learn. We go back and look at the home from which our mate comes. We look at our home. Then we know what to work on and let God work on and heal and forgive and work through and change. You leave. What's the next thing? It says you cleave. You hold on to. You grab. You, and that's a picture almost of super glue. You cleave to one another. You cleave to that love that you have. You have to do that. You have to work on marriage. You know, I was married for 3 months. We dated all those years, and I woke up one day and I said, who is this strange woman I've married? You've married a stranger. And nobody is naturally compatible. Don't believe that. There's no such thing as that perfect soulmate. There's not such a person. Or, I could have only married one person. No, you don't get that from the Bible. And so we cleave. You work at it. So I didn't know you had to work in love. I thought it's just a feeling. No, love is not a feeling. It's an action. And feelings come and go, but a commitment of love and the love and the love. And in marriage, there has to be two things, love and truth. Love by itself is mushy. Can you imagine a marriage like that? Truth by itself is harsh. That won't work either. But in marriage, in the cleaving, there has to be truth and love. How in the world can truth and love work together? In the human person, it cannot, but with the Holy Spirit can come and blend truth and love and truth and love together, and it'll help your marriage know how to sing in the clinging process. Remember that divine math? 1 + 1 = 1. And all of a sudden, you are one. You leave and you cleave. You work at marriage every day. And you realize it is a, Paul says it, as he deals with marriage in Ephesians 5, as Jesus echoes this in Matthew 11, same opening words of God when he performed that marriage. And he says, marriage is a great mysterion, is a great mystery. Have you discovered that? It really is. That's the part of the glory and the excitement and the thrill and the dynamic of it. So you leave. You cleave. Guided by the Spirit of God as you're in Christ, and you can mix love and truth because you have to have both. You have to have both. It's a process of you becoming real. You know, I love this. The Velveteen Rabbit, talking about coming real. The rabbit asks, what is real? Real isn't how you're made, said the skin horse. It's a thing that happens to you. When a child really loves you for a long, long time, not just to play with, but really loves you, then you become real. Does it hurt, asked the rabbit. Sometimes, said the skin horse. But he was always truthful. When you're real, you don't mind being hurt. Does it happen all at once, like being wound up, he asked, or bit by bit? Doesn't happen all at once, said the skin horse. You become. It takes a long time. That's why it doesn't happen often to people who break easily or who have sharp edges or those who have to be carefully kept. Generally, by the time you're real, most of your hair has been loved off, your eyes have dropped out, and you got loose joints and are very shabby. But these things don't matter at all, because once you are real, you can't be ugly except to people who don't understand. That's what happens in marriage. You leave, you cleave, then you become one flesh. So, well, that's just a sexual thing. Oh, no, that's part of it. Body to body, yes. Soul to soul, personality to personality, yes. Spirit to spirit, yes. And that's the process of cleaving and becoming one flesh. It's a marvelous thing, and that's the reason. What is marriage for? Procreation, be fruitful and multiply. It is for pleasure. And also, it is a physical symbol of the relationship you and I have in Jesus Christ. Therefore, in marriage, there has to be operating all the time repentance and forgiveness. Repentance and forgiveness. Just like in the Lord Jesus Christ, we repent, and by His grace, He forgives. In marriage, we repent, and there's forgiveness. You have to have those things working. That's the process of becoming one flesh. Leave. Cleave, one flesh, repentance and forgiveness operating together. And then, what's the next step? You're naked. Not so much physical nakedness, certainly that's a part of it, but you're just vulnerable. You're open, you've exposed yourself. You see, when you get married, you're totally reprogrammed. Did you know that? Somebody's told you all your life, friends, family, parents, teachers, you know, you're just not very smart. And your mate says, you know, you are sharp and you've got stuff in so many areas. You see, your mate has reprogrammed you. By the same token, if you married somebody in a negative case, heaven help us all. They reprogrammed you, and you say, you know, I've always felt pretty confident, but your mate keeps undercutting you and undercutting you, and you lose your confidence. Your wife, your husband reprograms everyone here. And if you are a negative kind of programmer, change your view. You see, the wife is to be the cheerleader, and the husband is to be the one who can be trusted. Trust and cheering, cheering and trusting. And your mate reprograms you. But any prior opinion you had of yourself, any prior affirmation you had of yourself, it is your mate that determines who you really are and who you believe you are. And so in marriage, see, we expose ourselves. We're just naked. We're open. We're vulnerable. And therefore, our mate reprograms us, hopefully in the finest and the best ways, not just making up stuff, but being honest with us, challenging us, rebuilding us in a wonderful way without trying to change us. If you marry anybody to change them, God help that person, and you are stupid to say I do in the first place. But we do get reprogrammed. This is being naked. That's what marriage is. The mask comes off, and all of a sudden, you see that person as they are, and they see you as you really are. That's the beautiful part of being naked, of being open, of being receptive, of being reprogrammed. And the problem is when we see ourselves as we really are, it's like that bridge that has all those little flaws, little microscopic cracks in the bridge, and nobody knew it was there until that big old Mack truck came over that little bridge, and that Mack truck was so heavy, all those little bitty microscopic flaws were expanded, and you saw how weak the bridge really was. That's what happens in marriage. That's the thrill of it, the challenge of it, how God works in it. Naked. And then finally, what's the last thing? There's no shame. Isn't that great to live a life? There's no shame, nothing hidden. No unusual agendas, no undercutting of someone, just no shame. Let me tell you, that'll work wherever you are. It'll work every time. Leave, cleave, one flesh, naked, no shame. Boy, that marriage will sizzle. If you want your marriage just to stay wherever it is, yeah, you can certainly do it. When I was a boy, polio was epidemic proportions. They found that salt vaccine and everybody stopped getting polio. What if that were you? You know, I'm not going to take that vaccine. You're not going to use God's principles? If you're 50 years in marriage or 5 minutes in marriage, how absolutely stupid can someone get? God has a way. God's plan works. Think it through, pray it through, put into practice, and then come back and say, well, it didn't work for me. You can't find anybody like that. Have the courage and the boldness to do those things. And there's a little operative principle. What do you think the best known verse in the Bible is? Known all over the world, what verse is it? You'll guess and you'll be wrong, but you're happy to guess. What it really is. What verse in the Bible is the best known verse around the world? Somebody said John 3:16. That's what I said, and I was wrong. And you're wrong. What is it? Somebody said it. Who? Golden Rule. That's right. A plus, you'd miss next Sunday, no charge. No, I need to be here. The Golden Rule. The golden rule is known in all kinds of cultures, Western, Eastern, all over, Southern. It's just known. A lot of people don't know it's in the Bible. Do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. By the same token, it's the best known verse in all the world. And I would guess that nobody here has ever heard a sermon preached totally on that verse. I've never preached one on that verse. Isn't it something? I don't believe you've heard it mentioned. I've mentioned it many times. You've never heard a total sermon on the best known verse in the Bible, all the world completed. How many, be careful, have ever heard a complete sermon on that one verse? Lift your hand. Be careful. I may call on you. I've never seen anybody lift their hand. Isn't that something? Because what does the verse mean? Do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. What in the world does that mean? Sounds nice. It means this, simply stated. Whatever you need, that's what you give. That's what it means.
Well, before we leave you today, Dr. Young is here to answer a couple of questions coming out of the message we've just heard. Today, Dr. Young, you talked about the importance of vulnerability in a marriage. Tell me, what are some practical ways we can pursue transparency with our spouse?
To truly love someone, you have to be transparent. It doesn't mean that you always say what you think, but it means there's an openness about your life, a genuineness about your life. In marriage, what happens? Remember divine math? Two become one. And therefore, if you were to become one, you think your right hand has secrets from your left hand? You think that your heart has secrets from your mind? No, there is a wholeness there. And therefore, to keep things in the dark that are going on in your life from your mate generally is not wise. How beautiful it is to be transparent with your mate as we are transparent before the Lord. I was talking to a man years ago, and I said, you know, let me pray for you. He had a problem. He said, oh, don't pray for me. I don't want God to know where I am. How silly that is. Transparency is one of the basic geniuses of a marriage that's seeing. And somebody who isn't transparent with their mate over a period of time, that gets the marriage in trouble. And that's why we have so many marriages are committed suicide. Their marriages are committing suicide. So, wait a minute, that doesn't sound right. Yes, it is. When two become one, that's marriage. When that marriage is broken apart through divorce, marriage has committed suicide. To be open and transparent is one of the basic fundamental things for your marriage to make sense, for it to grow, and for it to be the most dynamic, fulfilling relationship anyone can have in a human sense in this world.
Thanks, Dr. Young. You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. We hope today's message has encouraged you in your winning walk with Christ. And we'd love to equip you even more at the start of this new year by sending you a special resource called the Illuminate Journal. Journaling is a powerful way to enrich your walk with the Lord and brighten up your life as you remember all He has done and continues to do for you. So let God fill your heart with gratitude this year and get your copy of the Illuminate Journal when you give a gift to help keep this program going strong. Call 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-9255, or text the word winning to 41411. Text winning to 41411. Thanks for being with us here today on The Winning Walk. Come back tomorrow as Dr. Young explains how you are made for worship and why it's vital to keep your heart centered on God. It's a powerful message you won't want to miss.
Winning Walk is a listener-supported ministry. Your prayers and financial support enable us to bring proven truth to listeners around the world. Write us at Winning Walk, Box 3366, Houston, Texas, 77353. That's Winning Walk, Box 3366, Houston, Texas, 77353.